Reading from John 13, verse 30 to 38. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified with him. If God is glorified with him, then God will glorify the Son himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, just as I have told you, the Jews. So I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Natalia. And if you're wondering, we clearly had an American translation. A rooster is a cockerel for you and me, okay? It's just the American, it's the same thing. Folks, we're going to listen to what Jesus has to say. So should we say a little prayer and ask him to help us this morning? Let's do that. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we're not so fussed about what the vicar thinks. We really want to know what you think. So please, by your Spirit, help us to listen to Jesus through the Bible today. And in his name we pray. Amen. Now, kids, I've got a question for you. And in fact, some of the grown-ups might want to know about this as well. Which is this. I wonder if it's ever gone through your head, why do mum and dad drag us to church? Maybe some of you are thinking like that. Why does my husband or wife drag me to church? Why do we bother with that? James has got an answer. Go on, James. Because God... God is so important. There's lots of people in the world that doesn't think that's important. A bit like that. Is that all right? Because God is so important. That is a really cool answer. And I wonder what answer others would have given. But I also wonder, have you ever wondered why there are some people here who open their homes every week? It may be a Monday night or a Wednesday night or a Thursday afternoon, and a whole pile of people from the church crowd in and they do it week after week. Why would you do that for other people? Or what about this? Have you ever wondered, why did God put you in this church family? Kids, you look around. Grown-ups, have a look around. Look at this lot. I mean, let's be honest. Some of us are pretty odd, aren't we? Well, you're looking at one of them. Some of us are pretty odd. Some of us are pretty difficult people. Some of us are quite rude. Some of us are going to really get up each other's noses. Why would God put you in this church family? Do you know, I've got a friend, he's got a little rhyme about this, and this is what he says. To live above with Christians we love may well be seen as glory. To live below with Christians we know is quite a different story. Anyone else feel that sometimes? Let's be honest. Why does Jesus do this? And friends, I want you to think about today what Jesus says. And think about the obstacle course. Do you remember the obstacle course? Remember Ben was in the dark and it was really difficult? I wonder if you've ever thought that following Jesus can be a bit like that obstacle course. We're trying to get home to Jesus. That's where we want to be one day with him. And on the way, there's lots of obstacles we might bang into. And sometimes we feel like it's in the dark. It's dark and it's difficult. And you know, Jesus said that was how it's going to be for his friends. Do you remember what he said to them? Number one, he said, "I'm going. I'm going to leave you." Hands up anybody here, your friend, a really good friend, once moved away or left your school. Did that ever happen to anyone? Any grown-ups say, maybe it's hard when a really good friend leaves you, isn't it? And Jesus is saying, "I'm going. I'm going to die on the cross and then I'm going to go back to heaven to be with my Father. And I'm gone." That must have been really difficult, mustn't it? "I'm going," he says. And then the next thing he says is, "You are going to give up." Well, imagine that. Imagine he'd said to Natalia, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster, before the cockerel crows. That's what Jesus said to Peter. You'll give up. And the third thing he says is, people will gang up on you. That's why you'll give up. Because people around you will think it's a bit strange to follow Jesus. Guys, do you think that still happens a little bit today? Do you ever feel like Jesus has gone and you're feeling a bit alone? Do you ever feel like giving up? It's hard work, or maybe you've stuffed up again and you think, I just don't know. Do people ever gang up on you? Maybe in your class at school they think it's a bit strange to go to church. Maybe in your workplace it's not the cool or the dumb thing. Maybe for some of us it's even in our own family. They don't really understand and it's hard. It is dark and difficult following Jesus. And guys, here's the lovely thing. Jesus knows. And Jesus wants to help us. Did you hear it in the reading? Did you hear the lovely, gentle way he speaks to all of us? He says, my children, you're my family. You're the ones I really, really love. And in this world, which is dark and difficult, I'm going to give you two gifts. Two gifts that you need and that will keep you going. Did you spot them? Have a look down, if you've got a Bible, verse 34. Kids, listen, don't worry if you've got a Bible. I'll read it for you again. Here's what Jesus says. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Two wonderful gifts. Friends, those words are so important, I think we need to say them again. Will you join with me? If you've got a Bible in front of you, don't worry if you haven't, just join in. Let's say those words again, verse 34. Are you ready? A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. So it goes down a bit deeper. Let's try it again, shall we? One more time. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Did you spot there are two gifts? What were you going to say, James? You carry on.
Why is that boulder?
Brilliant question. Can I give you an answer? Do you know, James is ahead of me on this talk. You are brilliant. That's great. Jesus gives us two gifts. And here's the first one. Love one another. He gives us Jesus' family. What he's saying is, it's a dark and difficult world. You can't do it on your own any more than Ben can make his way through the obstacle course. You need each other. You need to be loving each other. You need to love one another. And here's what James spotted. Go back in the Last Supper. Jesus showed them how to love one another. Do you remember? What did Jesus do? Go on, James. I think you're onto it. Go for it. It was a bit like baptizing. It was something with water. Do you remember? I'm going to see if Natalia can... Go on, Natalia. He washed people's feet. James, could you come and give me a hand? What have we got here? We've got a washing bowl. Could you hold that for me? Don't worry, it's not got water in. You won't get wet. It's all right. And a towel. Can you hold on to those just for a minute? Hold those. Just stay there for a minute. What James is reminding us of is how Jesus loved us. What it meant to be family. He didn't just talk about it. He wanted us to see what it means to be Jesus' family. Now, I don't know if this happens in your house, but we don't wash people's feet when they come to the vicarage anymore. Does anybody do that? No. But there are lots of ways that are similar. You see, Jesus did something that was difficult and dirty and serving other people. And there's lots of ways we can do things that are difficult, maybe dirty, maybe making ourselves small to serve other people. Do you know, I know that because some of you have done that for me. I know times, as it were, you've washed my feet. You've made yourself small to try and help me and serve me. So when I wasn't well, somebody came and emptied the bins. Wasn't that brilliant? When I couldn't drive, somebody gave me a lift. Wasn't that brilliant? Sometimes there are people, I'm not hinting about this. Sometimes there are people in this church make me cakes. Isn't that brilliant? Wonderful. But how about this? There are people in this church, I'm not going to name names, who I've really hurt and upset. And you know, they still love me. They still put up with me. They still care for me. That's what Jesus is talking about. A love that doesn't mind doing what's difficult, doesn't mind making itself small for somebody else, and that wants just a practical help. Friends, that's an amazing gift. When the world is difficult and dark, to know we've got a Jesus family who will love us like that. James, you've done brilliantly. Can I just, do you want to have a seat now? Thank you. Just remind us, Jesus family, and our great symbol is the basin and the towel. There is a problem though, isn't there? What did I say at the beginning? To live above, glory. To live below, quite a lot. Do you remember that? How difficult it is? The trouble is, being family like that is really, really hard. And so Jesus gives us another gift. Not just his family, but do you remember, what did he say? A new command I give you, love one another. And here it goes, as I have loved you. As I have loved you. There's another gift there, and do you know what it is? It's Jesus' forgiveness. Jesus' forgiveness. Ask yourself, when Jesus says, as I have loved you, how did Jesus love them? How has Jesus loved you? Listen to what he says to Peter. He says, Simon, you can't follow me now, but you will follow me later. In other words, you can't do it now. You haven't got the strength. It's too hard. But one day you will, and I'll give you a new start. Jesus' forgiveness. And then, did you follow how it ended? The bit about the rooster. Let's go back there. Will you lay down your life for me, Simon? No. Three times before the cockerel crows, you will disown me, deny me. Jesus is saying to Peter, will you lay down your life for me? No, no, no. I will lay down my life for you. So guys, we've seen the basin and the towel. That was what happened before Jesus said this. What happened after Jesus had the meal with his friends? Anybody remember? What was the next big thing Jesus did? Natalia? He did indeed. Would you like to come up and just give us a... I've got something to remind us about what Jesus did. Could you very carefully, just be very careful, unwrap the red cloth? Let's see what's under the red cloth. Oh, I wouldn't pick it up. I'd just very, very carefully. Mind your fingers. You'll see why in a minute. Thank you. What have we got here? We've got three great big nails. Imagine how big those nails are. And I'm not... Do you mind if I do this bit, Natalia? You don't want to touch this. Remember the crown of thorns? Remember what Jesus did? Remember his love going to the cross for his friends? I'm not going to ask you to hold that. Is that all right? Thank you, Natalia. Have a seat. That's brilliant. Friends, do you see what Jesus' forgiveness is like? It's a forgiveness and a love that gets hurt for people who weren't bothered. He got hurt for people who were going to let him down, like Simon Peter. He got hurt for people like you and me, who don't bother with him and don't love him and don't care for each other. And all of those he went to the cross for, to show his great love and to bring his forgiveness. A new command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And guys, do you hear that? We need to be forgiven because we stuff up. We don't love each other like that. But Jesus does a little bit more. What did he say to Peter? You're not following me now, but you will then. In other words, I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to help you live a different way. I want to finish with a bit of a story. True story, and it's about somebody who's one of my great heroes. Some of you have heard me talk about this hero before, and I don't apologize for mentioning this person again. I'm going to show you a picture. I'm going to see if any of the grown-ups or any of the kids know who this person is. It's a very old picture, because this is a picture from a long time ago. I'm going to hold it up so those at the back hopefully get a bit of a... And the music group! Mustn't forget the music group! Let them see too. Anybody got an idea who... It's a lady... Phoebe, do you know?
Corrie Ten
Boom. Wow, Corrie Ten Boom. That is amazing. I'm absolutely gobsmacked. That is fabulous. Pete is looking down at this point. That is really cool. Would you like some more Haribos for that? I think that deserves a Haribo, but I'm also going to give one to your dad. Would that be all right? There you go. There you go. Friends, can I tell you what I'm showing you, an old black and white photograph of this lady? This lady lived in the 1940s, and I don't know if you know the story, but at that time, our country and lots of countries in Europe were in a big war. And some of the people in that war were trying to get rid of a whole group of people called the Jews. But people like Corrie Ten Boom and her family said, that's not right. We're going to help them. And you know what she did? She and her family made a little hiding place in their home to keep the Jews safe. Unfortunately, a bit like Jesus, somebody sneaked on her. Somebody betrayed her. And she was put in a prison camp, which was horrible. Absolutely horrible. She went there with her sister Betsy, and Betsy got so poorly that Betsy never came out alive. It was so difficult for her. But do you know what Corrie did? She and her sister found, even in the dark and difficult place of prison, Jesus was with them. And so after the war, she went around telling people, Jesus is with you, even in difficult and dark times, and showing them his forgiveness. Until one day, she went to a place in Germany called Munich. And she went to a church, and when she finished talking about Jesus' forgiveness and Jesus' family, a bit like I've been talking about today, a man came up to her from the front. He was a military man. You could tell he'd been a soldier. And he didn't recognize her, but she recognized him. He was one of the prison guards from that camp. And he walked up to her, and he said, this is such good news, madam. Such good news that Jesus can wash all my sins away. Let me shake you by the hand. And he held his hand out. What would you do? Her sister had died. This man had done terrible, terrible things. And yet now he was saying, I'm a Christian. Jesus has forgiven me. Will you shake my hand? What would you do? Probably a bit like Corrie. She didn't know what to do. She thought, I can't forgive this man. I know Jesus has forgiven me, and I know he's my family, but I cannot do this. And this is what she says. She says, I prayed. I cried to Jesus. Jesus, I cannot do this. You are going to have to help me. And she said it was extraordinary. She held out her hand to take his. And as she did it, she said it was like electricity going down my arm. And I found I could love him. And I could forgive him. And this is what she says. What I found is, when Jesus gives us the command, he also gives us the power. When Jesus forgives, he also gives us the power to go on forgiving and loving each other. So guys, it's really a very simple message today. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. You can only do it with Jesus' family, even when they drive you nuts. And you can only do it with Jesus' forgiveness. So we get forgiven, and we can start sharing that lovely forgiveness around. And he helps us do it. Why don't we say a prayer? We're going to pray. And just before we pray, I wonder if maybe this morning, one or two of us, Jesus is saying, will you be family to each other? Will you do some of that foot washing stuff? Is there somebody who needs a bit of practical, communal garden serving and looking after? Will you be family? And I wonder if for some of us he's saying, will you be forgiven? Will you come to me and get forgiven and start showing that forgiveness to each other? Friends, let's pray. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we are so grateful for this weird and wonderful thing called Jesus' family. Lord, help us to be family to each other. And Lord, we are even more amazed at this wonderful thing of your forgiveness. Please, please help us to receive your forgiveness and help us, like Corrie, to be brave and loving. And to pass it on to each other. Amen. One final thing for the grown-ups, and then one final thing for the kids. Grown-ups, have you been wondering why he calls it a new command? Has that ever made you puzzled? Didn't the Old Testament say, love your neighbour? Well, isn't it about this? as I have loved you. We have never seen a love like that. A love that comes from the might and the comfort of heaven and comes down to earth and gives its life for people who couldn't care, who let it down, who hate the very one who came to die for them. You've never seen a love like that. And that's why it's called a new command, as I have loved you. And kids, I've got something I'd like to offer you. There is a children's version of the story of Corrie ten Boom, and I've got it here. I would love if somebody wanted to borrow this. You can have it this week, next week, as long as you like. And if we find lots of people want it, we'll have to share it around, maybe get one or two others. It's called Corrie ten Boom, The Courageous Woman and the Secret Room. It's got lovely pictures, which I always like in a book, and it tells you her story. If you'd like to know more, come and grab me at the end. First come, first served. Back to Mikey. Stay here. He's got some good stuff for you. Over to you, Mikey.